Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor, yet again, and Connor.
Wow, welcome back, Trev. We missed you so much.
What's up, guys?
I'm still not sure if he's real.
I don't think he's here.
AI.
Let us know if you can hear Trevor. Is Trevor actually coming through to you?
This is a Silas deepfake.
Is Trevor in the room with you right
You're
now?
You're actually seeing Silas's chest.
Yeah, we had to lower the chair way down. So I was actually looking at the Disc Golf Pro Tour schedule, and like after this week, we're just going to have tournament after tournament after tournament after tournament for a long time.
Tournament up for what?
We still have plenty to talk about here. We're going to kick it off with a little. We're going to kick it off with a little Patreon question of the week. We're going to give Trev the floor to fill in.
Let's go.
The two episodes you missed?
Yeah,
the two episodes he missed.
Wasn't going to make it three.
Trev rundown.
Yeah,
we're
giving Trev the floor to just fill in his thoughts on some. You know, Connor got himself into some hot water. You know, yeah. AB won. Or he's going to give Trevor the opportunity to just, you know, spill his beans.
It's fine though because I'm totally okay with not being liked. Like, I'm totally okay with it. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, I don't need people to like me or anything.
The memorial happened this past weekend. We'll talk through some of that. The first update to the official Disc Golf World Rankings happened. And then we need to update our top 10 because we never updated that post chess.com. So we got to update that as well. But before we get into all of that, I want to tell you about the sponsor of today's episode. Top of the morning to you. I don't have an Irish accent.
Oh.
But hey, it's St. Paddy's Day. And this episode is brought to you by the St. Paddy's Day Shamrock Shavers Manscaped. Let your confidence shine bright this year with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and embrace the luck of the Irish by joining the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and use code GRIPLOCKED for 20% off and free shipping. Ever since I've used Manscaped, I can proudly say I found my pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Meet your new lucky charm for St. Paddy's Day, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This trimmer comes with two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, one for a classic trim and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart's desire. And you can complete the look with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit, plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're sculpting your beard or cleaning up your neckline, these are always the right tool for the job. So don't forget to get 20% off and free shipping with code GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code one word, GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. Let's get into the Patreon question of the week.
Love it.
You can join this part by heading over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. And we have a weekly podcast there called the Hydro Club Mailbag where we answer.
That's basically an eternity.
You're going to miss three this week.
Ah!
Yeah, because that's not part of the thing you're back for. So, but hey, next
Trevor, week. Just give three answers right now to satisfy the Heiser Club members. We're not going to ask you questions.
The questions you think they asked.
Just give answers.
Chocolate milkshake.
Okay.
Playground slides.
Okay.
And the English Channel.
There we go. That goes with it pretty well.
Yeah, it's basically all we've been answering. Mm-hmm. If you want to ask us a bunch of random questions, you too can by going over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf, joining the Hydra Club, and gaining a plethora of benefits from exclusive monthly content, contests, behind the scenes look at stuff. You get to create content with us, and of course, the weekly mailbag.
And on the Hyzer Club store, you can now buy Con Man Shaman.
Are they sold out? I don't know if they sold out. You could have.
You could have.
You might still be able
this
to.
This might be false advertising.
There was a few Con Man Shamans added to the site there.
Hot dog.
But this question came from Chance. He said, what are some discs y'all choose for tight gaps and Hyzer flips?
Trev?
Dude. If there's anything about me, it's that I'm really good at Hyzer flips and tight gaps. I typically...
that's why I call him tight gap Trev.
It kind of depends on where I'm lined up, because if I am lined up even just slightly to the right of the gap or dead on center, I'm going to try and throw something a little more stable, flat, or with a little bit of Anheuser. It's when I'm a little bit... You know, when you get just a little bit left, or even really sometimes just on center, is where you have to go to the Hyzer flip. So if I have to throw a Hyzer flip, I'm throwing a Supra or a Stalker. If I'm in a spot where I'd rather be, I'm going to throw like my straighter T-Bird or a Rock.
There you go. I think Connor and I both said Passion.
Yeah, just because of Passion. Well, if it's like decently far, then I would go Passion, because a Passion is just a disc where it's not going to flip. It's not going to flip over, and it's not going to Hyzer out.
What about the
it's
Honey from Clash Disc?
Dead straight.
What about the honey con?
I think it's a little...
On
hole three.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'll choose Big Red sometimes.
Okay.
That's what I call her.
Just to let you guys know, I also... my voice is shot.
I can tell.
So anytime I go for those like high, like funny things, oh, that's true. I'm going to lose it.
We're going to get Lil Weezy back.
Yeah, you're going to get Lil Weezy.
Lil Weezy Vert. All right, well, I'm going to give Trev the floor here. Like, if there was anything that you found enigmatic while you were gone, if there's, you know, your thoughts on AB winning, your trophy thoughts on thechess.com.
Yeah, I've got a lot to address.
Connor's take. You know, the floor's yours. Let's see. We start where you want.
We're just going to give you time to brainstorm. Yeah. Here.
No, it's, I'm always ready. Just been preparing my speech. So AB, I can't think of a sadder thing happening than the one time I go away for him to win and then me not to immediately get to talk about
it. Have you heard the rumors that's the reason he won?
Yeah, well,
acknowledged the stop curse?
More people are saying that it wasn't my absence, but the fact that I took the AB rock out of my bag.
Exactly.
How crazy is that? I think...
That was a storyline.
If I destroy it completely, he might sweep the majors this year.
Yeah. Do you need to sacrifice it?
You might have to do like a
Viking burial.
I'm running a test. It's in my bag now, just for this weekend. So he probably won't win Waco.
Well, did it? Was it?
I'll put it this way. The next time he wins, you ask me if it was in my bag, and I'll let you know.
When did you put it in your bag?
When did I put the disc in my bag?
Like, when did it physically go back in the bag?
Wait, are you talking about just now, you're saying?
Yeah.
Like, I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
I was going to say,
because he just lost Memorial. If you would have put it back in, like, after he shot, he shoots 17 under, and Trevor's like, you know, this should go back in my bag, and then he, like, blows up the next round.
What if Trevor put it back in his bag, and then it came out, they found, like, some secret hidden footage where he foot-faulted in chess.com, and they had to take it away.
Bokas win. No, I that's pretty crazy that happened. I did put him in my top three on the preview show. I'm confident in him, and I knew that it was kind of a thrower's course, and it was very exciting. It got a little nerve-wracking, right? I mean, he was playing really well, cruising, I would say. But anytime Ricky's chasing you down, and then he took that double.
Scary.
Was it a triple?
Double.
Double.
He took to Ricky's birdie.
Yeah. He took that
double. No, double to par.
Yeah, it was a 60-footer for par that Rick made.
Yeah.
Whenever he choked that, I was never, let me be clear, two strokes going into the last hole, I was not like that concerned really. Had it gotten to one, I would have peed a little, I think. but I think he probably was a little spooked after that hole, just because, you know, whenever you choke an event away really bad, especially when you haven't won before, it's really tough to shake that kind of curse.
Yeah.
You know, because like everybody's paying attention to it. As soon as you get towards the end, especially when the bigger the lead, the better, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess he's lucky that this wasn't one of those courses that that has like a real trap hole where you can just throw shots over and over
again. Or has an island.
Right. I'm super happy for him. I think that this is going to be an interesting season for him because he's been getting progressively better. He actually putted quite well during the tournament. Really good C1X. And this is a huge confidence booster. I feel like I'm not crazy when you see some guys win their first event. Sometimes it's kind of like, oh, good for them. But like AB, we've known is like uber talented for a while. He throws as good as anybody. We've kind of just been waiting for him to put it together. And now that he has one, it's kind of like, at least for now, you have to consider him at every event at this point. You got to be, well, he's won before. He's going to be a top five guy this year probably, and I think that's really good. It's good to have another young talent who's a proven winner. I'm really hoping we get him and Hammes in a battle this year. I think that would be super fun to watch. I'm super excited. I tried really hard to tweet jinx him.
Yeah.
I was like
moments before the blow up on 17.
I was like tweeting like as he was like on 15 and 16, like congratulations, and I was just kind of, you know, just like to keep things interesting. I was just goosing around. Yeah. So, I'm really excited about it. The trophy. Got to talk about the trophy. So, and I think actually for once, Brody makes plenty of good takes. He made a very rational trophy assessment on Tour Life. I'm sorry, bleep that. On beep beep on that podcast.
Yeah.
We have to confess something to you.
Yeah.
After Brody's performance and Yuli's performance at chess.com, we did do a Tour Life merch promo on here because we said they needed it.
Yeah.
They needed it.
They're beating us.
Brody needed it.
Well, now they are. We did the promo.
They were losing by like 40, 50 before.
Yeah. Well,
I think,
event or to the merch?
Like the merch.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
We just felt
both.
We just felt that it was needed. And so we did a push. You weren't here. It was
I can tell you it wouldn't have stood.
It was a collective effort. It was a unanimous at the time decision.
How funny would it be if we just did that? I just had to come clean.
We pushed
like a new Tour Life merch item, and then everybody got it, and like on the like somewhere on it was just like the Griplock logo, really small. That's funny. It was like we infiltrated it.
Trevor, have you seen the Am I Right Boys t-shirts yet?
What?
Man, they're a good time. They're a good time.
We'll show you later. We wore them in. What video did we wear them in? We played doubles.
Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah. They're sick. Anyways, back to the trophy.
So Brady made a really rational take because he was talking to AB about it. And because, like, this was like the epitome of why disc golf is getting the trophies wrong, because the actual object that was handed to AB is a very cool thing. It was a handcrafted chessboard. No. Not to look at. What?
There's no way to distinguish if it's a chessboard or a checkers board. Therefore, I call it a checkers board.
Okay.
Connor's dying on that hill.
I'm going to call it a chessboard.
Y'all can both be right.
Yeah.
Okay. You could play either on it.
Yeah. If your argument works, then so is mine.
I just choose to demean it more by calling it a checkers board.
So the object, appearance-wise, we'll get there. But I'm just saying, like, as it stands, a... like professionally handcrafted wooden chessboard is a cool thing. It's a cool thing. However, it's not a cool trophy.
Yes.
Okay. Holding up a chessboard, that would be like if I had a really... I don't want to say something crazy.
Nah, do it. Come on.
I want to say something crazy, but it's like if I were... Okay, here's an example.
This is a safe space.
If I were in the Dyson Open and I held up a really expensive, nice Dyson vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
It is really nice. It doesn't make it a trophy. And here's the other thing.
So well put.
Here is the other thing is, I mean, I'm just hitting the floor running. Here's the other thing is, yes, later on, we learn from AB that they were going to engrave his name on it and give him his own custom chess set as well, which is a very cool thing. However, make that the gift that you give him and then give him a trophy. What continues to boggle my mind, and the chessboard, what I'll even say about the chessboard is, this was one of the easiest ones ever because you could make a very well-themed thing that's still a trophy. Had that board had his name and everything on it, that would have been fine. I don't think we would have freaked out about it. Had he held up a chess piece that was like
that was what Connor carved. Connor was on
why
that
was
one.
It not a chess
a
piece,
king?
Trevor?
Yes!
What? Like, it's so easy. And it's the fact that it was blank, right?
It was blank.
Like,
that was the toughest
that
part.
That was the kicker.
Because if it had a wood-burned logo in the middle, it's at least, it's
anything,
still not a trophy, but it's better.
We wouldn't have freaked out over it.
I wouldn't have made a tweet at all.
Not even at all. Because, and like, it is the fact that it was blank. And the best part is, like, okay, so forget all that, whatever. So there is kind of the cool background that he's getting his own custom chess pieces to go with it, but nobody knows that. And that's what Brody said. He's like, nobody knows that. It's all of the trophy.
It's all about the presentation.
It's all about the presentation. It is the cherry on top of your event. Look at this great thing that just happened. Here is this awesome thing to commemorate it. And it's not difficult. It's so not difficult. I don't understand why people continue to struggle with this.
Better or worse than the dyed disc?
Oh, better than the dyed disc, yeah.
I didn't know. The dyed disc had a logo on it.
Like I said, this was so close because, like, I feel so bad because, like I said...
Well, at least you knew the dyed disc was a reward because it said it on there.
If you put me in AB's shoes and they hand me that, I'm actually pretty excited because I like chess, and that's a really cool thing. I got a chess board.
It's a gift, though, not a trophy.
Exactly. And like we've said, if you just had the name on it at the time of, or the logo of the event at the time of presentation, we wouldn't even say anything because we're kind of over it.
Yeah,
at this
even
point.
Just the logo. You're
the
right.
The logo's all it needed.
It's the fact that it was blank. And so.
Well, because it also, you didn't, we had no way to know it was a $400 chessboard.
No.
Except for the PDJ report. I found one on Amazon that's the spitting image of it for $40.
Yeah, like that's.
Like it looked like.
And brother, you've got Magnus Carlsen in the building. Make him sign it or something. At least something.
It looked like, I think I said this on the podcast, and I want to hear if you agree with it, was it looked like Jeff Korn's, whoever he assigned to get the trophy, forgot, and he ran to like Walmart morning of.
Why wouldn't you just grab one of the chess piece koozies that was around the basket? Yeah, you know, like that would have just been so much better.
Chess was such a, like if you, of all the themes to make your trophy, and somebody says chess, yes, your mind would probably first go to chess board before maybe chess piece. Like, oh, a chess board. But then, like, I just don't understand.
Mounted on something.
Identify it. Like, yeah. It just was a crazy
AB
look for
held
me.
It up backwards, which was funny to me.
Like, watching them hold up these checkered pieces of wood with nothing on them at all was pretty funny. Like, it just looked funny.
Why was it not a chess piece? Why was the MPO not a king chess piece and the FPO not a queen chess piece?
It would have been cool.
Or, even a pawn would have been fine.
Yeah. No, it was... That would have been a sick trophy.
Yeah.
It would have been a sick trophy.
Crazy. We don't want to harp on that anymore because we've done our piece. I just wanted to give more so. Some people were saying that you wouldn't have agreed with us. So I just wanted to give you the opportunity.
I love chess, and so I agree that it is an awesome item. It is a very cool item that they gave him. It's not a trophy. People are still struggling so hard to understand the definition of what they're actually supposed to accomplish. You're not giving these. You're not. The trophy is not meant to give them something that
they don't even have
is
to take
like.
It home.
It's not meant to be practical, like. It's just meant to be for display.
Now, your thoughts on Connor's Discmania Ganon take.
All right.
Because this is another one that people were saying.
I can't even believe this is a hot
This
topic.
Is another one that people were saying that you wouldn't have agreed. You would have stopped it before it ever started. So I just want to give you the floor.
I would like to. I'm going to try and pose my opinion as a inquiry for thought. Because I want to know what the opposition of this take is actually thinking. Okay, let's start from the beginning. So Connor's take, if you
I didn't even realize
hadn't
it was a
listened,
take, honestly.
Connor's opinion, his take, it's a take. Everything's a take.
Yeah.
Everything's
it's
a take.
Take five. Was that and correct me if I'm wrong, but that Ganon using a lot of Discmania should not be allowing Ganon to use old Discmania Innova made mold that they do not currently sell. That's the basis of the take. Okay. And it seems
it's
like all
not,
the Discmania boys were firing back at that. And listen, I love the Discmania boys, okay? Ganon, Alden, Gavin, I think you guys are great. So if you're listening right now, don't let this ruin our friendship. Or do. I don't even care.
Wow.
I care. Here's the point of a manufacturer sponsorship is Discmania or whoever else is signing a player. Why? They're signing them because they are a business trying to sell Frisbees. So they are trying to sell Frisbees because those players go on the course, they throw the Frisbees that they sell, and they perform well with them, and that's how they sell Frisbees. Okay? That's how this business works. So if you are Discmania, once again, we will rephrase this. We'll reiterate this. If I were Ganon, Gavin, or Alden, I would 100% be throwing the Innova made molds because you're allowed to. We would never dispute that. Like, of course, they're great molds. But if I were Discmania, why would I want my star players throwing discs that I cannot sell? They make no profit off that. Now, you could argue, well, they still make an MD3. When you say things like that, I think you're kind of calling the disc golf audience idiots. Because we know, yes, there is some audience who will see MD3 and just think, oh, that might be a different stamp or like whatever, and go search MD3 and buy it. And Discmania is probably hedging on that. They're probably hedging on. But there is a disc golf is a passionate, passionate following. When you get into disc golf, you very quickly get sucked into the niche that is discs and collecting discs and buying discs. And there is a lot of people, a very big portion of the audience, that understands the disc market, when discs were made, certain runs of discs. Like, people understand that pretty quickly. So a lot of people know Discmania, Switch manufacturers, and they're Innova made molds. That's not like mind blowing to a lot of the audience, I would think. So I think by just assuming that everybody is just going to be like, oh, well, that's an MD3. They still have an MD3. People know the difference. Whenever some of the in the bags started coming out for Ganon and them, a lot of everybody I was talking to immediately was picking up on that. That was what they were looking for more than anything else, was how many Innova molds was he going to carry. That's a point of interest. So, like I said, I totally have no issue with it because I'm not Discmania. I'm not trying to sell the disc. I'm merely saying if I were Discmania, and here's the other thing that's important to mention. Maybe this was a deal breaker. Maybe those guys wouldn't go to Discmania if they knew they were locked into that. Mm-hmm. And maybe Discmania knows that. They know, like, hey, we're going to keep these guys a lot happier. And they're just trying to compromise. And that would make sense to me, too. I'm merely explaining it. If Discmania had the power to keep their players happy, keep signing them, and not have them throw molds that they don't sell, that would obviously make more business sense.
Well, if you're Discmania and that is the case, doesn't that tell you that you should make your new molds better?
hey, everybody has their limits.
That's what the, that's what the whole thing is that the whole take was just stemmed out of a place of hurt in my own heart where I wasn't inspired by Discmania anymore, and I was hoping by them signing a fun, awesome, very good at disc golf guy, Gannon. I'm not blowing smoke or anything. I just think you're awesome and beautiful. No, but if they're like them signing him, it was going to make me like inspired by Discmania again. It was going to make me excited about the new molds. And then him still bagging a lot of old molds just showed me, no, the excitement's still in the past.
I would just like to, like I said, to me, that everything I just said makes a lot of sense. I don't understand how you could dispute the basis of that business principle. Like, I mean, just think about that in any other business industry that isn't disc golf. Why would you market a product that you don't make, that you can't make money off of? It's not like they have dead stock of Innova that they are still selling. If they do, correct me. But I would just like to...
And send me a link to the store.
I would just like, in the comments, if you disagree with that take, like, give me... Don't just say it's a terrible take. Tell me why. Because I genuinely, I would love to see the other side of this argument because yeah. I don't see it. I really don't. I feel like it's really black and white.
I think the other side is like, I want to still
I
throw
like
in.
Throwing them. Yeah,
and, like yeah I, and that's fine. And that's fine. I'm not saying,
I'm still
not saying
throw
you players are, I'm not saying you players are dumb for doing this. Yeah. I'm saying it would be better for Discmania as a business. Not even that what Discmania mm-hmm. is doing is stupid, because like I said, it might be important to them to be able to retain players and bring them on in the first place. I'm not even saying what anybody is doing is dumb. Yeah. I'm saying it would be a better business decision for Discmania pending, you know, the players would go along with it. Like, it would be better for them. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that could be disputed. If I'm missing something, let me know.
There you have it.
Let's Alden, if you're listening, message me, DM me, please.
The other ones don't talk to Trevor.
No, the other ones can too, but Alden, he's kind of my olive branch.
Your Alden branch.
Alden branch.
He nice. Did on his video... I think called it one of the worst disc golf takes of all time.
I just don't understand how that
in the
can
comment
be true.
Section. So
listen, if you guys are coming from a place of hurt, we need to all be rational.
I'm hurt.
Everybody is hurt.
I'm not.
I'm sad.
Hunter doesn't get hurt, dude.
Nah, dude, you bounce off me.
He's built for tough.
I do bounce off Hunter.
Yeah. All right, I've said my piece.
Let's
I've
keep Gannon piece. Burr's name in our mouth because he just won the memorial.
He just speaking of Gannon Burr's mouth, let's talk about the memorial.
He just came back, final round comeback on Aaron Gossage to win by 2 strokes out there. Back-to-back memorial champion Gannon Burr. Obviously just an A tier now, but it still is very well attended.
Were you guys talking about the other day? I think I saw a clip talking about how the goose would be the goat if he could
putt. If he could putt, yeah.
Like, he is unreal.
He's awesome.
Good, well, because he came in like second or third at chess.com with a 70% C1X putt.
He's so good. Yeah. He throws that disc hard.
He really throws it well. Backhand and forehand. But putts like me. Not really. He putts a lot better than me. But when you compare him to the field.
I don't actually know about
speaking
that.
Speaking of the goose, 70%? He came in... Yeah, I'm putting high. In like the mid-50s.
Yeah, 70%.
Yeah. If I was making 70%, I'd be disgusting.
It's better than 22.
In our videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came in second. Aaron Gossage. AB came in third. Paul Ulibarri fourth. Isaac Robinson fifth. Drew Gibson sixth. That's more or less where the like super notable names end. Gavin Babcock was out there. Alden Harris was out there. Parker Welk was out there. So the field, nowhere near as deep as it was in its prime. But it's still a fun event at the beginning of the season. Core players still play. So.
I think the Memorial is the For the Love of the Game event. And you can tell based on the guys that go out there, it's either it's the Arizona natives, right? You got Gibson out there, Ulibarri. Or Ulibarri's in Charlotte now.
He's in Charlotte
he
now.
Was,
yeah, he
though.
He had ties.
And then you got Barella out there. And then it's B, the guys who love the game.
The good time guys.
Yeah. You got Isaac and Gannon and Alden, like the guys that are just loving disc golf. Because, like, how fun is it to play the Memorial? Like, we got to go to that course. It's a fun course.
It's
time. Warm. Like, you can tell who loves the game.
Yeah. Ricky was out there as a spectator. He was posting. He loves
the game, baby.
He had basically everyone I just listed was staying at his house more or less, and so
dude,
he was just like house dad Ricky. And so he was out there just being their number one fan, posting
I
all
know,
over his story.
I know we're furthest away from Rick than any pro as far as accessibility, just because I don't think he really likes us.
I wonder why.
Nor do we really know him. I like Rick.
I've always liked Rick.
I like him.
I didn't and always like him. I like him more now.
I'd give anything to stay a weekend at Rick's place because it looks like a great time.
His backyard's phenomenal.
Cold tub, throw some putts, man. Jump off the waterfall.
It looks like a great time.
Come on,
he's
Rick.
Got himself a house in Arizona. Good for him.
Yeah. We'll just show up.
He's one
up.
Of the grinders.
Let's just show up.
All right.
Anyways, AB, big storyline from this event. AB shot 17 under at Fountain Hills. It was rated 11-14 when it was all said and done.
Hot dog.
One of the highest rated rounds of all time.
One of the hottest dogs of all time.
One of the hottest
dogs.
He is
one of the hottest guys of all time.
Let's preface what I'm about to say here. A, he two'd every hole because hole one he threw a B. So that's how he freed it.
I didn't even know that.
So he threw two shots on every hole. So
dang,
he so only fun. Threw, what is that, 36 shots, I believe.
Wait, where did he go? Did he get, like, skip OB and then
play? He must have skipped every hole. There wasn't coverage of it. I just, someone who was there said that he shot-wise birdied every hole.
How was he not on feature card?
Because he didn't play great. This was third round two.
Oh, that's right.
Or three.
That's right.
Maybe round two. Incredible round. Okay. What we're about to talk about ratings-wise has nothing to do with how good AB played out there. Okay. Because that was an awesome round. Should be historic. I mean, 17 under. It's phenomenal. But it farther amplified ratings yet again because this 17 under, Andrew Presnell pointed this out on Twitter.
The prize.
This 17 under at Fountain Hills rated 11-14. A 17 under at Northwood Black would be rated 11-09. So
if you shoot 17 under at Northwood Black, you should pretty much be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's the greatest round. Yeah. It'd be the greatest round of all time, bar none. And it'd be rated lower. Now, some people obviously are like, that round didn't happen. So some people are like, well, if it did, it would be rated higher because blah, blah, blah. So we can also look at farther perspective of a round that did happen, which is Paul's 16 under at W.R. Jackson, only 10.92. That round, to get to anywhere in the 1100s, he would have had to go to 18
under.
What was the
toboggan 18 under?
That's a great question.
That's what I want to know.
Because that is the greatest round of all time.
Yeah, I would say that's, in my mind, that's the best round that's ever been played.
Trevor, you have so many good questions, dude. I miss you so much.
I'm full of questions.
Let's see your ratings detail.
You are full of questions.
They call me the question guy, the Riddler. The
question fool.
But yeah, it just, some people were trying to explain it to me, and I was like, I'm not actually asking because I understand how that round's so high rated. It's because
we really want to do math.
You have people in the field at the Memorial who aren't the best disc golfers on a course that is, you're guaranteed to throw OB and lose discs, basically.
Hand up.
So, like, you have people who are going to shoot, like, 30 over at that course, and you're going to have someone shoot 17 under, because, like, at the end of the day, for pros, for high-end pros, it's a pitch and putt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what that course is.
Hyzer Fest, dude.
It's a Hyzer Fest. If you have a 450-foot Hyzer, it's a pitch and putt. Obviously, it's not a 200-foot pitch and putt, but it's still.
That would be a fun in-the-bag segment, like, things you call courses. Like pitch and putt, Hyzer Fest. Like, I don't know how many there are.
So Paul's D-Glow was 11.08. So 6 points lower than AB's. Now, Paul also shot a 39 at the Memorial back in the day. That was the highest rated round ever. Still is 11.32. Paul also shot a 45 at MVP, what was then Vibram, 11.21. So that was higher.
Does he have the most 1,100 rated rounds of all time?
Surely, because he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1,100 rated rounds.
That's crazy.
He was good at that.
There is no way anyone has more than that.
1, 2, 3 of them came from the Memorial.
McMemorial.
But it was just it was more so I wanted to bring it up because it just like farther drives the point home that the ratings just, in the sport, they have become far less significant now that we have world rankings and pro tour points.
They only get talked about when something like this happens, and it's really funny because like by them bringing it up, they're basically just showing how
the
ratings look.
Like when you show every time someone does something crazy at Memorial, and you show how like Memorial is the kryptonite to the rating system because it's a course where people are gonna blow up. There's a lot of OB, and people are going to shred it. So it's just like it's going to make the ratings system look like a joke.
I know people get super giddy when they see that 1100 number and they just can't ignore it. But like, are we not at the point now where we can just throw the 17 under up there?
Yeah, his scorecard is incredible. Like, it goes three and then it's all birdies. Yeah.
Just and let's talk about that. He made 17 birdies in a row.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, crazy. I mean, what did we shoot, like 12 in doubles out there?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
And we shot 17 on his own disc.
Yeah.
On his own disc.
His own disc.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, but I just had to bring that up because Andrew Presnell pointed it out, and I didn't believe him, so then I went and did my own math, and I was like, oh, no, it checks out. Because I was like, that can't be true. Like a 17 under at Northwood Black is like unfathomable.
I think that should be the 1200 round.
Like that, yeah, like that. And it would, yeah, it's just, it's not possible. Like I a human know, couldn't do it, I don't
yeah.
think.
I want to know mathematically.
Like can someone even birdie 17 holes at Northwood Black? Are they all birdieable?
I want to know, like, has there ever been a tournament where last place and like the distribution was low enough down that the highest, the best possible round, 18 under, would have got 1200?
Probably not.
Has
I
it
don't
ever
know.
Happened?
I don't know. No idea. I just know 18 under W.R. Jackson would have only been 1104.
Would that be... That would be an interesting video. We shoot a 1200 rating round. Can't do
How
it.
How are we going to do that, Trev?
Can't do it.
We aced every hole.
Think about it.
We can't leave this course until we shoot what would be a 1200 rating round.
Oh, I could totally do that so quick.
Yeah. All right. It's
just
time
don't
for...
Don't put me on hole three at Peaks.
Favorite segment... That can actually be called what it is called this time.
Wow.
Trevor's Trivia.
You've been calling it Sans Trevor's
Turns
Trivia.
Turns out we did the Simon Lizotte quiz last week, not realizing we've done it before.
Yeah, it's been done.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, we sucked at it still.
That's why we don't run this thing.
We went really like 3 for 10. We went like 3 for 10.
That's why it's Trevor's
we
Trivia.
We thought it was going to be like getting to know Simon. Like, what's the name of his son?
Yeah.
No, sir.
And stuff. It was just like, how many putts did he make inside Circle One in the year 2013?
I'm going to go ahead and say no, sir. All right, guys. Welcome to AB Trivia.
Heck yeah. Connor's favorite
oh,
segment.
Oh, you're not making a joke.
It's actually AB trivia.
Mm. I'm excited.
Every question's about AB.
Oh, like Trevor, that. I said after the chess, I said that AB, like I just, I like him because of his, like.
He showed emotion.
Yeah, I like the way that he showed emotion after the round, like in that post-round interview. It, like, gave me some insight into his
heart. I told you from the beginning, he comes off a certain way because he's kind of shy.
Yeah.
Low key. He is a little bit shy. He's got layers. You just got to peel them back. I would know because we are close.
Yeah.
Very close.
Hit me with the AB trivia.
Still doesn't acknowledge me. Okay. So today we're going to be doing AB trivia. The way this is going to work is, let's see how many questions I got. 1, 2.
We haven't went against each other in a long time, Con.
Are we going against each other right now?
I don't know.
Five, I'm definitely going to lose this.
Got 6 questions.
Are we working together?
No.
I'm gonna lose this, Trevor. I'm not gonna be answering any of them.
It's gonna be pretty guesswork-y.
Okay.
So you guys will both have a shot.
That drink just assaulted my nostrils.
You simply just get a point for whichever one is right. Some of them will be whoever's closest gets the point. Some of them it'll be you have to get exactly.
Yep. Okay.
And by some of them, I think only one you'd have to get exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Like first question.
Okay.
Whoever's closest gets the point.
Nice.
What is Anthony Borello's PDGA number?
Who would like I know to go he's first? Been playing for a long time.
Let me. I'll even give you a hint. My PDGA number is 63415, 63,415.
Paul's is in the 20,000 range.
Just to give
27523.
Just give you somewhere to start.
I'm gonna go with ABs as 42369. Dang, he's fine.
No. I'm going to go with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The answer is 4, 4, 3, 8, 2.
I was dirty close.
Gosh darn.
That was dirty impressive. Close. I was just trying to do the math on when Paul would have started playing to when AB would
I was just
playing.
Like 10,000 too high.
To when Trevor would have started playing. I felt like AB was a little closer to Paul than Trevor.
Okay. Next question. In what year did Anthony Borello become a PDGA member?
2010.
2011.
We're playing that game, huh?
What? Wait. I think you made a good guess. I think it's around that time.
The answer is 2010.
Get wrecked.
See, like, what am I supposed to do, Hunter, if I thought you had the right answer?
Okay.
Steven. Give it before me.
Trevor's back, and now me and Hunter hate each other again. I'm just kidding.
Next one.
I'm just kidding, Hunter. I don't hate you.
I'll take the answer that is one higher
Can I go
lower
first?
Than Connor.
Can I go first? Well, that's not. You went first. Exact. I was supposed to go first that time. That's why that happened. I'll go first.
He
this
did
time.
Not explain that in the
Connor course. Gets the next two.
I don't want to go first. This one I am just going to guess close to whatever
Where
you
was Anthony Borello born? Have to get this exact to get the point. It has to be not state. It has to be city.
I'll go with, I don't know if he was born in Arizona, but that's the only thing I know about him, so I'm going to stick with it. What's that one place called? What's the nice place in Arizona called? It's not Phoenix, but it's the other place. It's the nicer one. What's the nicer one called? The place that we're in? I can't think of the name. Dang it. Hold on. Give me a second. Scottsdale.
Okay.
I feel like that's probably right, but I'm going to just go with another part of Arizona that I know.
Oh, yeah. Sick, Hunter.
I'll just go with Flagstaff.
You're both wrong. It's Mesa, Arizona.
Who's closer?
He's based out of Scottsdale now.
Though. Who's closer, though? Oh, my gosh.
Mesa's close to Scottsdale, I think.
Okay. Well, I think that I win, then.
I think Flagstaff's where, like, the freaking Grand Canyon is.
Can I get the point, Trev? No.
Okay. Next question.
Can I get a little respect? Can you just say, respect you?
You have a little bit of respect.
Thank you.
Next question. How many career wins does Anthony Brella have? PDGA wins. Connor, you get to go first again.
Oh, sick. Career just wins. I don't know. He's been playing a long time, and I bet he was like the best in like his age group for like a while. And I'm gonna go with it's probably a stupid guess. I'm just gonna say 10.
Okay.
I was gonna go 50.
The answer is 35.
Yeah. So I was doing the math of like 3 per year for 14 years puts him at 42.
Okay. Well, it's an insurmountable lead, but one more question and I'll give Connor a way out. It's how it's what is his career earnings? If you can get it within 2,000 of his career earnings, I'll give you the win just because that'd be insane. Okay. Hunter, what do you think his career earnings
is? I'm not going first. Okay. If he's guessing within 2,000.
What do you mean?
What doesn't have to be 2,000 to you? 2,000 of the actual.
I know, but I'm not going to, I don't want to put him all $2. I don't want to put him on the trail.
Fair enough. Fair enough. $2 to Hunt. This'd be crazy.
I don't know. Career earnings. Like, I've got no idea. Like 11.
Like 4.
I've got no idea. Like, I'm gonna be like, I could be tens of thousands of dollars off.
Yeah, that would be even impressive if you were within tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah. This is very tricky.
I mean, my first heart number says 50, but that's too high. I feel like not $50, just to be clear. I'm gonna go with $26,000.
May I put a guess in? An actual Connor. Guess?
No, you said
two. I think it's around $75,000.
You guys are both way off.
Where is it?
$160,000.
That's crazy.
He's been playing on tour for a while, guys.
He just started fully touring last year.
But he only won 35 times, though.
He probably...
You don't have to win to make money nowadays.
Yeah, but like... How much is he cashing out? Like $3,000
last year.
Yeah.
The year before, he made $30,000. Crazy.
I just didn't want to throw a guess out before Connor of like eighty grand, and then Connor's like, "Well, I'll just go.
Am impressed.
Are you sure you're not counting how much he's won at fingerboarding competitions?
He did also just win.
He won like ten or twelve. I think it was ten at chess.
Yeah, he's made 11 so far this season.
All right, well,
you're the expert though. On
super,
AB.
Super cool. Yes.
I feel like Trevor's trivia is just turning into Connor stupid.
I'm the AB expert.
That's not true.
You're like purposely picking things. I'm just kidding.
That was guesswork.
No, it was.
This isn't a super big storyline, but the Disc Golf World Tour.
We'll make a big deal out of
it. The Disc Golf World Tour randomly, after 5 years of inactivity
on
their Facebook page.
You better stop that right now.
They updated their Facebook profile picture.
What?
Out of the blue. I just got a notification.
What is this story?
I was scrolling on Facebook and it just
what does it look like?
It's their logo again, like the same Disc Golf World Tour logo. They just changed their profile picture to their logo.
What was it before?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We have to know what it was before. Who are they firing?
They're firing somebody. The point is more so.
Paul McBeth is on his deathbed.
It's more so the Disc Golf World Tour because like they hit it from their timeline. So you had to have liked the page for it to pop up on your timeline, which is what it did for me.
So they're being sneaky.
So I was scrolling and the Disc Golf World Tour logo popped up. And I'm like, that's weird. And then it said they updated their profile picture, and it was like Friday.
They're going to start being more active, you think?
I don't know. They stopped being a tour in like 2018, 2019, somewhere in that range, I think. And then they like made their last post in like 2019.
Okay, so their last profile picture, though.
That's like what it looks like.
Was that?
Yeah.
And they updated it in 2023.
Now go scroll.
And that was 2016.
But like, why do they just update it?
It is somebody. It is curious.
Someone is at least being active on there for some reason. Because this tour's been dead. This tour's been dead for 5 years.
Well, this was run by
UC Maresma
and Discmania,
who UC has now sold Discmania. Yeah. Is the world tour coming back?
Yes.
You think so?
Indubitably.
Ooh. Oh wow! What a word.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to bring
that was
it up.
A great word sneak, Trev.
You know, people have been saying. I don't know what that means. People have been saying maybe there's going to be a competitive tour to the Pro Tour. You know, eventually.
I see that. I could see it being like they need to get Scott Stokely on board. He's the world guy. I could see it being like a kind of like how it was before, where they just run like four events or whatever, and they're just like in really cool locations.
Yeah, I don't know.
Imagine we've got a U.S. based pro tour, this European tour, and then we sprinkle in four or five of these world tour events. Guys, your players are stretched thin.
I don't know. I found it very interesting.
Start cloning them.
Found it very interesting that out of nowhere. Because you said there was a profile picture update in 2023.
Beginning of 2023.
And then the last one that was like 4 years
ago. So maybe there was already plans to relaunch it at the beginning of 2023. It didn't happen. Now it is.
That's what I don't know. I haven't heard anything else. It's just someone updated the profile picture.
Let's say this. We here at Foundation hereby submit our application to be on the trophy committee. To be the trophy committee
for
the Disc Golf World Tour.
Oh, for sure. And we won't make silly... Like, they're going to be sick.
They're going to be sick. Well, it wouldn't be stupid. We're
indubitably.
Good. Indubitably. There's no way anybody has job applications going through yet. So we
don't know that.
How much are we charging to be consulted for each trophy?
Each trophy? Well, we don't know how many events there are.
$1,000?
I want a custom chessboard per event.
Excellent.
So like $30?
No. Just they paid kidding. $400 for that.
Have you ever seen mahogany, let alone smell it?
No. Here's the thing, is that we should win a trophy for turning that into a storyline.
Every time.
I think it is a storyline. It might not.
I mean, it's something.
It might be nothing.
Some guy just got bored and was like,
who's gone that? Who's on there?
No, dude. I'm going to get a break through my window tonight, and it's going to be like, you better not talk about the world tour ever again. It's a secret.
I need to break out. I have a world tour hat. I need to break out.
That's dude. Sick.
Disc Golf World Tour hat. It was made World by Cup. Dude. How did you know?
Hold on World a second. Cup. Hold
is
on a
dude
second.
Is dude coming back? That's the next question.
I wish.
Ooh,
dude.
Or Boom?
I wish.
You guys remember Boom?
I do.
Boom.
Boom
vaguely.
Disc Golf.
Yeah. Yeah. With the chain logo.
Yeah.
The O's I don't were know.
Chains. It was kind of like a. It was kind of like
isn't
a
drone guy.
That's different. Yeah, he called himself Boom Disc Golf. Yeah. But this was
that's the only Boom I know.
There was a brand back in the day called
Yeah,
Boom.
It's kind of like it was kind of like a Huck Lab thing where like I don't really know why it was on a disc, but like I knew it was cool to have it.
Isn't Huck Lab curious?
Yeah.
How did they get so popular?
I don't because it looks sick.
There you go.
I wish
and
Disc Golf
Avery, the Jenkins
name just came back
this
too.
Is why Disc Golf is missing that
with the
dude.
Bird logo. Crush Disc Golf is making
Supreme
a
Flight. Oh. Supreme Flight was kind of always that for me too, where like I didn't really know why it was cool
well,
or why it was
believe
on
me brother
something.
We owned it and we still didn't know.
I ran Supreme Flight for like 2 years.
I would get like a Supreme Flight shirt and be like sick. What?
Why
what
is this?
What does this mean? I don't know. Paul wears it though.
Disc Golf is missing that. You know, we're so caught up on custom runs and tour series that we don't make dumb stuff trendy anymore.
You're right. Everybody go buy an Am I Right Boys shirt.
I'm just saying, like, it was so, like, there used to be so many of those little niche things because, like, oh, the pros were doing it.
That's basically just what our shop is on our store is. It's just like, wow, what are all these inside jokes?
That's what I'm saying, man. We could be the next Huck Lab. We'll call
Huck,
it
our logo. Wow, Con.
Wow.
What did you say?
I said Huck yeah, and then it made me feel uncomfortable.
Our logo doesn't look as cool flying through the sky. We need to turn
it
that
looks
into
pretty
a
cool.
Tri-fly.
We need to turn it into a tri-fly.
Yeah, I think we need three of them.
Yeah. I think we tried this once.
I think that's going to make it look like
that would not
logo.
Look good. Yeah, that would not
look I think it would
look
like something completely different that we're not going for.
I think we did this.
All right.
I'm pretty sure we did
the
this.
The PDGA updated the NPO World Rankings and the official Disc Golf World Rankings. They update on every Wednesday after a Pro Tour / event happens.
Oh,
so,
that's class.
Here you go. Basically, Eagle McMahon, this is my big question, was the Eagle, Calvin didn't perform well at chess.com. Right, so my big question was, is Eagle McMahon going to become world number one without playing because the world number one didn't perform? Answer, no, he didn't. So
good job,
one
good
point.
Job.
Calvin Heimberg stayed number one, Ricky stayed number three, Eagle at two. Isaac Robinson moved up two into fourth, Paul moved down two into sixth, Kyle Klein moved up one, Dickerson moved down one. AB Paul, was the big
wait,
question.
Wait, Paul moved?
Paul moved down two.
Oh, good, good, good.
He dropped okay. two. AB did not move with his win.
Now, does that make sense?
He's still 12th in the world.
That doesn't make sense.
So they use like an average points basic. I looked into this because like obviously they were claiming the same people who developed the world golf ranking. Basically, they worked with a team of Sport Edge, which is a company in collaboration with Mark Brody, who is the guy who...
Brody Smith?
He was one of the big guys in part of the official world golf ranking. He actually was, I saw on Twitter, credited with the invention of strokes gained.
Whoa.
Stat. That was his...
That's crazy.
That was him.
That's crazy.
So...
I always thought it was Connor.
They Amen. Worked with them to develop what is now the official disc golf world ranking. So it'll be interesting just to kind of see throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean,
because they do it has history, but they do weigh more recent events more heavily, which I think was one of the problems we always had with UDisc was like people were better off not playing than playing is what it felt like. So it'll be curious as the season goes on. What it looks like.
I don't know. Gut feeling says AB should not be 12th in the world.
Gut feeling says AB should have at least moved for a win.
Like A spot, maybe.
Yeah, because he's behind Nicklaus Antola. I mean, but the tough part is, like, he is clearly better than Chris Dickerson right now, I think. Some of the guys ahead of him, though, they've had some really good stretches. Like, Calvin, obviously, last 6 months, didn't finish outside the top five.
Like,
Ricky, Isaac, Gannon. Like, I would, if you ask me all of those people ahead of him, I would agree. Paul, I would say AB's better than. Dickerson, I would say AB's better than.
Paul hasn't been that guy for a while. That's what I'm just wondering is, like, I don't know. I mean, he won last year at one point, PCS. Never forget.
And he was in contention at Worlds.
He was?
Was he last year?
I don't think so, big guy.
Mm-mm. I didn't think 2 years ago. But still, I think this factors in 2 years ago. I forget how far back it goes. Previous 104 week, which is 2 years. So...
Drop out of Worlds like halfway through or something?
I don't think he DNF'd. FPO, Kristen's obviously still...
Because I think he caddied for someone in the last round, didn't he?
That was European Open.
Okay.
Caddied for AB. Yeah.
Okay, that's
way to bring that back up, Con.
Sorry
right in front
that.
Of Trevor, too.
Cool. It was great.
Kristen Tatar, obviously still number one. Evelina moved up three spaces after her win, almost taking over the
could be the
spot.
Year. This could be the year of the finish. We talked about this three years ago.
Yeah, Hannah, we talk about it every year. Hannah also moved up three spots. Holland moved up some. Paige and Haley both dropped. Ella Hansen moved up. So it'll be interesting just to keep watching this.
Is Kristen playing Waco?
Yes, she's back. She is back this weekend.
Now we're talking.
I saw a Bleep Bleep show, the Bleep Bleep.
Turd Life.
Tour Life. I saw they posted on
I have not made that yet. Twitter. Or have we?
We haven't. Mm-hmm. They posted on Twitter a meme that was like when in Happy Gilmore, when he's like, uh-oh, Happy learned how to putt. And they photoshopped Evelina's face on it and said the rest of the FPO field was Shooter McGavin standing behind him. Very funny meme. Great job, David.
Is that what we're calling him now?
That's his name.
Is the Goose Man our Happy Gilmore?
He could be.
Yeah.
Could be. All right. The final thing I wanted to touch really quick is...
He's happy.
Do we want to update our top 10, the foundation top 10?
Have to.
Because AB is not in it yet.
Well, that's a darn
thing. So where is he going? Right now we have Eagle 1, Calvin 2, Isaac 3, Gannon 4, Kyle 5, Ricky 6, Matty 07, Simon Lazat 8, Cole Rodalin 9, Chris Dickerson 10.
Well, Dickerson's got my... Well, Dickerson played okay, right?
Let's look this thing up. PGA Chess. Well, I mean, the easy one...
Jog a memory, yeah.
Eagle McMahon's not coming back for a little bit.
It's true. It's true.
So we can put him in a ghost
number. We can put him in a ghost spot.
Dickerson came in 28th. So he played okay.
He played meh.
Yeah. Aaron Gossage, also not in the top 10. Kyle Klein, I feel like... Heimberg 2, Isaac 3, Gannon 4, Kyle Klein 5, Ricky 6. Like, I like that group. Feels fine. Calvin obviously kind of stunk up a little bit.
He did stink up a little bit.
So it just is like, how heavily do we weigh that? Because he came in, what was it, 36th, I think?
What's 34th? Up with that? What's up 34th. With that?
He came in 34th.
What is up with that?
So
that didn't make any sense. He had no business playing.
Basically, where do we want to put AB? Let's start there.
Well, we got to just test him at the bottom, right?
Put him in the 10th?
Let's test it, right? Let's put him up against Dickerson. I mean, he has to go to 10th.
Okay, so let's bump Dickerson.
What?
Bump Dickerson and put Anthony Borello there. All right, do you want to touch anyone else? Egan McMahon stay number one?
Guys!
I didn't say it. You want Egan McMahon to stay number one?
Are we
putting him in a ghost?
I think he's got to go to
ghost.
Yeah,
we got to ghost him.
This is like the fifth time Eagle McMahon has been in a ghost spot.
He's been hurt too much, man.
Ghost Eagle McMahon is now in the
number
in the ghost
one. But then who do we put in the true number one? Calvin can't move up there.
No, he's a bum.
Ricky, Aaron Gossage also needs to come into the top 10. Mm-hmm. Ricky has vying for it. Gannon Burr came in fourth. Kyle Klein came in fifth. Isaac, who was... So Isaac's in third right now. He came in fifth at chess.com.
You can slide that boy Isaac in there.
Put Isaac Robinson into the top spot.
Nobody. The top spot is like kind of hairy right now because nobody really deserves it outright. So like I'm fine with it kind of being like a jumbled up mess.
But now where do we put Aaron Gossage into this?
Although low key, like if I'm going gut feeling, like Rick should probably be higher than that. Just based on like who
I like
feels
it.
Dangerous right now.
Rick feels dangerous.
He does.
I think we put Ricky too.
I'm fine with that, dog. Let's keep Ricky dangerous.
We still need Aaron Gossage in here somewhere.
Yeah. Did Redolin do okay? What did Matty O do?
Matty O came at six.
He is so consistent.
He's inevitable.
He's crazy. Matty O is just quietly taking top tens every time. He's going to make a great living.
Where is Cole Redolin on this list?
He DNF?
No. He came in 26, tied with Chris Dickerson.
Bye-bye, Cole.
Okay, so I think we bump Cole. As much as that hurts me as his number one fan. And we put Gooseman into ninth.
You got Redolin, everything right now out. Is pointing to Gossage having a monster season if he can figure out a win.
We still are missing one person somehow. We have Isaac, Ricky, Calvin, Gannon, Kyle Klein, Matty O, Simon, AB, Gossage. Who did I delete?
Who did you hashtag control delete?
Redolin. I moved Rick. Okay, so I put Isaac Robinson first.
Well, you added a spot.
Because of Ghost, because of Eagle McMahon. Being removed.
And we took out two people, so that's why. We gave ourselves a spot and then took out two people.
Yeah, and then we added two people, so we still have a spot.
We still have a spot.
So do we just take Eagle out of the ghost spot?
Well, Cole Redolin, no, because Eagle's not taking anything up. He's a ghost.
So we can just bump Redolin down to the bottom.
We can put Redolin 10. You want to do that?
I'm fine with it.
I like it. I like Redolin's keeping Cole back in there. Boom. Okay. Eveline is not in the top five. I think we replaced Haley King with Evelina Solomon.
I would agree. She DNF'd.
She DNF'd.
Dang it.
All right, I like that.
Knee injury.
I feel good here.
Non-contact.
I feel good here for right now. I think we leave it here, revisit after Waco.
Yeah, we got to revisit after Waco.
Yeah, Waco tells us everything.
Waco is wacko.
Waco has two courses this year. To get into Waco course approval, preview, because
it's a golf course, isn't it?
We'll do it on the preview show, but they are now finishing at the other Waco course. So we won't have 17, 18 as the finishing stretch anymore.
Poopy poop. Hope everyone's good. It's a golf course, right?
I don't know. We aren't doing the preview show yet.
Yep.
So I got time to learn.
You're going to have to watch preview show.
You're going to watch preview show if you want to know what's a golf course. Preview show will be happening on Wednesday is when it'll be posted. Get you all the storylines you need right here on the Griplock channel. Thank you all so much for subscribing here, by the way. If you haven't yet, you're on a new channel. We've just crossed 7,000 subscribers.
I was wondering why it smelled different.
It's awesome. But
and comment down below if you enjoyed having Trevor the Trouble back.
Yeah.
And if you didn't enjoy it, don't comment. I don't want to know.
We did not get Silas's selection while you were gone. We were hoping we would have.
Oh.
Because we wanted you to be able to come back and be like, oh, Trevor, you're the only one that didn't get it.
No, I would have. I would have boycotted the whole thing.
It didn't happen. So what do we think's in here? Silas selection.
I
in
feel
the
like.
A Valkyrie.
That was way too quick of an answer.
Connor That's because Valkyrie. I know. I can see through the box.
I'm going to say a Trash Panda inner core.
Ooh, Trevor likes the inner core.
Wow.
He went Discraft last week. Silas is the type of guy that would go Discraft again. I'm going zone. Give me a zone.
Oh, I'm terrified.
What the frick is that?
Oh, Connor.
The door was open.
It was a wizard.
Oh, my God.
Silas likes to hide in plain sight.
It was your week, Connor.
Oh, gosh.
That was your week. How are you
going to
sleep with yourself?
I won't. I will sleep in a separate bed than myself.
Probably a smart move.
Nice. You throw your voice.
He threw himself to a different room. We can't even hear him.
You genuinely jammed me there, guy.
All right. Well, that's Griplocked. Hopefully you enjoyed. Don't forget to tune into the preview show. Get all the storylines you need before Waco this weekend. And then we'll be back on Monday to recap everything that goes down. We'll see you then.
Bye.